Hello out there and welcome to episode 104 of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. What are Senior Medicare Patrol Programs?
The Nursing Home Abuse Podcast is dedicated to providing news and information for families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. Here are your hosts, Georgia attorneys Rob Schenck and Will Smith.
Hello out there and welcome. And thank you once again for joining us. My name is Rob Schenck.
And I'm Will Smith.
And we are your hosts for the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Like I said before, this is episode 104. Man, that's a lot. You're triple digits.
Mm-hmm.
104 episodes. That's like if this was some kind of sitcom, like if this was Seinfeld, we would have the like the flashback episode where it's just the highlights.
Oh, right.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. The Golden Girls, like, they would be like, remember that time? And then it would fade and they would show the previous episode or the, you know, whatever the highlights were. Golden Girls, by the way, was one of Will's favorite programs growing up.
Programs.
I mean, what else? What do you mean? Was that
TV shows?
Oh. All right. It was Golden Girls was one of Will's favorite TV shows.
Yeah.
TV programs.
Right.
Anyway, today, like I said, we're talking about senior Medicare patrol programs. And those can be state specific. Georgia has one, but this is something that not a lot of people know about. Will, let's just so that we're all on the same page here. Let's talk about the SMPs. Mm-hmm. What do we got here?
So, The Senior Medicare Patrol Program is the SMP, and it helps both Medicare and Medicaid beneficiaries prevent, detect, and report healthcare fraud. It's a largely volunteer organization made up of retired professionals who themselves a lot of times tend to be on Medicare. A lot of retired doctors, lawyers, teachers, bankers. I don't know why they choose to do it that way, but they do. I guess we'll find out talking with Mr. Coughlin. But they go out and their goal is to help senior citizens who are on Medicare prevent fraud, abuse, and waste.
Of the system.
In 2011, for example, they saved the government about $106 million.
That's a lot of cheese.
So that's a lot of cheese.
And we Will and I bring the cheese every week. Anyway, to segue, Will mentioned Mr. Coughlin. Again, this is one of these conversations that Will and I are not going to have alone. It's going to be a dialogue with a special guest. And that special guest's name is Nathan Coughlin. Will, can you tell us? I only want the bare minimum information of Mr. Coughlin, if you could, please.
Well, he is a graduate of Old Dominion University and the Atlanta area representative for the Senior Medicare Patrol. He's been a human services advocate for in need populations for the past 5 or 6 years. This is a federal program, and he is the local representative here in Atlanta for the SMP.
That's right. And Nathan, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right. So we had just mentioned some of the basics of the Senior Medicare Patrol, and we want to go straight to the horse's mouth. Can you give us just a basic background of what Senior Medicare Patrol is, and if it's in what's it doing in the state of Georgia? What are you guys doing?
Yeah, definitely. Well, Senior Medicare Patrol actually is a nationwide nonprofit program. We're entirely funded by the Administration for Community Living, and we exist in all 50 states, Washington, D.C., Guam, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. I represent the Atlanta metro area. And basically, they estimate that Medicare loses $60 billion each year to Medicare fraud, waste, and abuse. So they pay our program to go out there and educate seniors and empower them to best protect their Medicare from that fraud, waste, and abuse.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a lot of money.
And it's all volunteer, right?
Correct. We have a network of volunteers and some paid staff to go out there to really educate, really like to engage seniors themselves in their own communities. Maybe they live in a retirement community or a assisted living community to empower them, to empower their peers at those communities to protect their Medicare.
Do you work closely or have any affiliation with the Ombudsman Program?
We do work with them, sort of quality of care issues. Those aren't necessarily something that we cover directly, sure. But because we are related, we work with all those programs to make sure that seniors get the care that they need, that they're not being defrauded out of their money in any way.
I just think I've always thought that it's interesting, and it's a huge benefit that we have this, because that we have people who are willing to volunteer and do this stuff. I mean, the Ombudsman Program, obviously somebody like Melanie McNeil, who's the head of our program here in Georgia, is an employee, but it's largely made up of a lot of volunteers, and the SMP is the same way. How do you find the volunteers to do this?
I mean, we love our volunteers. They're definitely a vital part of our process. Yeah. Really, when I'm out presenting to different communities, I bring up our volunteer program and encourage people. If they feel like it's something that's right for them, they want to volunteer their time. A lot of, especially newly retired seniors, may have come from, really high-skilled jobs in law or, doctors, all kinds of. We have all people that come from all different kind of backgrounds that really want to volunteer their time towards the good cause.
And Nathan, let's start from a 40,000 foot view. What literally, maybe not literally, what is healthcare fraud? Like what is Medicare fraud? I mean, we know that it's stealing and stuff, but what, from your standpoint, what is it?
Yeah, it's a great question. In short, Medicare fraud is when your Medicare is being charged for services or products you did not receive. It can be a one-time occurrence or it could be an ongoing issue. Mm-hmm.
So is this something that you investigate on behalf of a family member who is taking care of a loved one, like in a private setting? Or is this something that you're looking at an institutional basis in terms of like a nursing home committing Medicare fraud? Do you do one or the other or both?
It can be definitely either. Really, Medicare fraud comes in many, many different forms, and we're really there to help the Office of the Inspector General who does the investigating, but we do the reporting, making sure, if this is something that looks like it could be fraudulent. We definitely encourage seniors, if they're confused, they're not sure if it's fraud, to give us a call either way, because we want to make sure that anything that's potential fraud, that it gets to the Office of the Inspector General for investigation. And we hope it can stop on our end. Maybe we help out and determine it's legitimate, but it can happen in either of those situations.
I think it might be helpful if, can you give me an example, like a real world example of what you might find or what you might report?
Yeah, definitely. One of the biggest instances of Medicare fraud happens in the home health care industry. Say your doctor orders that a home health care nurse comes by your home 5 days a week for 4 hours a day, and they're billing Medicare for 5 hours a week, 4 hours a day. These people in those situations are often most vulnerable because if Medicare is wanting to pay for that, this person's very sick, likely. Mm-hmm. So maybe the person's coming by for 2 days a week for 2 hours a day, yet Medicare is getting paid for the full amount of the doctor ordered. So at that point, not only are seniors not getting the medical care that they need, they're also defrauding Medicare for a different amount of what is being accurately given.
What kind of fraud do you see in a long-term care setting in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, that type of thing? What's a common form of fraud in those instances?
Well, a lot of times, medical equipment and stuff that shouldn't be billed for at all in a nursing home setting, mm-hmm. because it should be all included in that billing of being in a nursing home, they will be billing for like medical supplies that really should be all encompassed inside the billing for the nursing home itself.
Like they're charging a resident for a lift or something like that? They should just
exactly, have exactly, yeah. Exactly. The durable medical equipment, that's one of the definite biggest instances of fraud we'll see in a nursing home setting.
What do you think, in your opinion, is, you talked about, the home care being a problematic. What's an under-detected, like what's the type of fraud that you like, man, I wish I could get more of those guys?
Or if there is one.
So much of the fraud happens over the phone. In Georgia, everyone who owned Medicare should have already received their Medicare, their new Medicare cards that do not include their Social Security number. Right now, one of the biggest instances of fraud happening is people calling, claiming they're from Medicare, and simply saying, have you received your new Medicare card? The senior, of course, says yes. And they say, can you please confirm that number for us? And now their number is compromised. Medicare is never, ever going to call you without you calling them.
I actually got that call myself, which I thought was amusing because I'm, you know, I'm 40 years old, so I'm not even looking yet at Medicare.
From an age standpoint.
From an age standpoint. But yeah, I got that call the other day, and it was it's so clearly fraud. But the problem is I have a lot of, you know, older relatives, and I deal with the elderly on a daily basis, and they're just I think they're not accustomed to that level of deceit. And when they get a phone call like that, they think, well, I mean, this is official. You know, it's somebody on the other end saying they're from Medicare. And they're going to give their number. And it's, I don't know how you stop that, though.
No, definitely. I mean, so many of the fraudsters are very good at what they do. They will call and they will, you know, have a, they might not be anywhere in the Atlanta area, but they will have a spoofed Atlanta area code number.
Right.
You know, they'll make that small talk, build that rapport, say how are your grandkids doing. Did you see the Georgia Bulldogs game last night? Anything like that to get the seniors comfortable and then come in the back end. And getting that vital healthcare information from them.
That's exactly what they did with me. And they mentioned something about the weather because we were having slightly unusually hot weather at the time. And I was like, man, I'm glad that I have trained my mother. I've told her never trust anyone on the phone that isn't me. So, but yeah, that's it's good that you guys are out there catching it.
And so, Nathan, can you walk us through your day? Are you fielding complaints? Are you doing investigations? Are you putting on a Sherlock Holmes hat and going out to, you know, facilities or to homes? Like, walk us through that.
It can be a little bit of all of the above. My main purpose, being inside the community itself, is really to go out there and educate. I work community health fairs. I might table at events. I like to go into senior centers and assisted living facilities and give presentations because my message is not necessarily the most complicated message in the world, which I love. It's a very simple message of just teaching seniors how to protect their own health care and just trusting their gut to know when something might be fraudulent, not giving up that information over the phone, knowing when to kind of take a step back and say, is this right? You know, I really want seniors to investigate and have a little know-how to look at their Medicare summary notices they received in the mail or explanation of benefits they received in the mail. Don't just throw them off to the side. Look at them and see, do all these charges look like legitimate things that I received or appointments that I went to?
That makes sense. So, yeah, let's elaborate on that. So Nathan, take us through three or four things that a senior can do to help avoid Medicare fraud. Like what's the top three or four recommendations that you would give?
Well, one, never give out healthcare information over the phone to unsolicited callers. These people, and sometimes they're just looking to steal your information, and sometimes they are a business that will send you a knee brace or a back brace, but you don't know if that knee brace or back brace is right for you. You know, there'll be fraudulent doctors that will sign off on it that you've never seen that will allow Medicare to pay for it, but you really want your own doctor to be your big resource. That your own doctor is the one that examines you and knows what is right for you and what is best for you. Don't listen to some salesperson that's just looking to get a quick buck. Talk to your own doctor about what, you know, equipment is right for you over someone trying to sell you something over the phone. Secondly, like I spoke about, check your Medicare summary notices. If you're on an Advantage plan, they will come to explanation of benefits. But either way, you want to really look at their explanation of benefits. This is not a bill. So people throw them off to the side and make sure that every appointment you're going to is something that you actually went to. I keep a pen and paper planner. I think it's the best thing to do. Look at, you know, if this explanation of benefits says I went to the podiatrist on the 15th of June, I want my planner to show that, okay, I did go to an appointment on the 15th of June. I know a lot of our seniors go to many doctor's appointments a month. So the more you keep track of that on paper and you can reference back to it, the more you make sure that you're not being ripped off.
That makes sense. So making sure that you don't give out your ID or your information over the phone, and making sure that you or the senior, or at least someone in the senior's family, is keeping track of what care is being provided are two ways to prevent fraud. What else you got in your toolkit there? What else can we do to help prevent this fraud?
Well, we always want you to, if you look and see something that doesn't look quite right, we want you to call the Georgia SMP Senior Medicare Patrol. We can be reached at 1-877-272-8720, and we want to be your first resource to protect against that fraud. Sometimes, because medical billing by their nature is confusing, it might be something that's legitimate. We can help you find that out. And honestly, we hope we do. We hope you call us and we look into it and it shows, oh, actually, because you had labs done and your labs were read by a different doctor than the doctor that you saw, it's a legitimate charge. And we can help you look into that. Like, don't feel afraid to call us just because it might not be fraud. We hope we look into it for you and it's not fraud.
That's a good point. So let's actually do this. Let's step back, Nathan. Let's say that there's an individual out there that suspects fraud, and they call 877-272-8720, Georgia Senior Medicare Patrol. What are they going to hear? Is it a voicemail? Is it a human person? And then from there, what happens?
We have a great team dedicated to helping seniors. We hope we don't get a voicemail unless we're too tied up with other people. But we kind of get a little more information from you, and we try to figure out exactly, you know, what this charge is for. We'll look at you. We'll help you look at your MSN to see what it is you think it's fraudulent. And we kind of further advocate for you and go into trying to figure out exactly what this charge is for and if it's not fraud.
And how long does that process take? Is that something that y'all do over the phone? Like, I mean, like, is it, you know, talking to somebody for 30, 40 minutes going through the stuff, or do you go on site?
It's really hard to say without on a hypothetical. Some things are very simple. We can help deal with it over the phone. Other times, if it's a little more intricate, we will, you know, since I'll go out there, I can look at the MSN and help people figure it out in person. It really just depends on the extent of the issue.
Is there anything that you find that people think is fraud but is not actually fraud that you can educate people right now on? Does that ever happen?
Yeah, definitely. And that's something I kind of touched on earlier. Because medical billing in itself is a very confusing process. Typically, you know, maybe a doctor on their bill is a doctor they have not heard of before, but it's because they had labs done, their labs were read by a different doctor than the doctor that they saw. That's a legitimate charge, but it is a little confusing. It seems like it could be potentially fraudulent to a lot of seniors.
Yeah, in the same way that one of the things that we have to learn early on as personal injury attorneys is that bills are extremely confusing. You go to an ER and it's not just the ER bill. There's, you know, the radiology bill.
The radiologist's uncle.
Yeah, there's a different lab that tests, you know, different aspects of different things.
And you'll get those bills weeks later at different times. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's extremely confusing.
Yeah, definitely. It's so confusing. It very much is.
But it sounds like you have the ability, though, to go on site. Sometimes you can go into a facility.
Well, Senior Medicare Patrol itself, we don't do any of the actual investigating. We help gather the evidence, and then we can give it over to the Office of Inspector General, and they do the investigating themselves. Okay, we're kind of the first step to determine, this really looks like it might be fraud, something does not look right, and then we can, maybe it's a billing error, and it's not fraud, and we can help the senior resolve that with their doctor's office. Maybe they were double billed, you know, it's nothing that is a huge undertaking. But if it looks like it might be straight up fraud, we will refer that to the Office of the Inspector General, and they will do the further investigation. They are the ones that really have the teeth of the law behind them.
And so, you may not have an answer to this. I'm not really sure. But in the field of what we do, which is negligence, Georgia is a pretty bad offender out of the 50 states. In regards to, you know, the $60 billion that we lose every year from fraud, how does Georgia rank? Are we a bad offender, or are we somewhere in the middle?
Pretty high up on the list. A lot of the fraud that we estimate, it's very hard to capture the full data because some of it is not reported at all.
Well, by the very nature of fraud, yeah, they're hiding it from you.
They get away with it, and then the seniors never know, and it's happening right now as we speak, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But Georgia certainly is no exception to the rule. The fraud is very rampant in this area. Typically, the Atlanta area and the metro is one of the higher in the state, of course.
Oh, wow. And that's a very interesting thing that you brought up just now, is that that number of how much we lose to fraud is really a number of how much we caught that we have lost to fraud. It's
exactly.
it's a much higher number, which is amazing. That is an amazingly high number for fraud. I mean, that's just that I don't think people fully understand how large that number is.
And Nathan, again, who once you get the information, it goes over to the office of the Attorney General?
Inspector General.
Inspector General. Okay, so is there a particular department of the Inspector General? Is that all that they handle? Like how is it divided once it gets there? Do you know?
I don't know the exact. To be honest with you, I don't know exactly how they handle it on that end, with department wise. But I know they're the ones that have the teeth to go in there and really, you know, have the law behind them too. Sometimes it's like pulling a thread. You know, if this person's defrauding new, chances are they are defrauding others. So it can be a whole company. Sometimes you start pulling that thread and you see, oh, this one person's, you know, getting fraudulently charged, and you see this whole network of individuals that are defrauding the, you know, it could be doctors, it can be a whole company, it could be a whole agency. It's just, you know, it's really someone's pulling that thread, find that one person and getting that confirmed fraud, and then you see the dominoes start to fall.
And I think a one way to look at it is that it starts with SMP collecting this information, passing it on to the office of the Inspector General, and ultimately what we see a lot of times, especially under Mr. Pack, BJ Pack, who's the United States Attorney for the Northern District, is that the federal prosecutors are going to go after these people. And it looks like I'm friends with BJ, and I've been following a lot of his accomplishments, and it seems like they're constantly having plea deals where they have successfully prosecuted these people for Medicare and Medicaid fraud. It's a big deal.
Definitely. A lot of times what happens is, you know, we'll find there's big fish and there's small fish. The small fish, sure, might be the perpetrators for the big fish. So they'll catch a small fish, get the small fish to plea deal to catch the bigger fish, you know, to get for the doctors and the big agencies that are perpetuating this fraud.
Yeah. You know, I think it's also important to remember that at the end of the day, you know, they're not just taking advantage of these people, but they're taking money away from a program which has limited funds already, which exactly. is already, you know, and you know this, just from dealing with the system, it's rampant with neglect, and taking money away from something, like this is certainly making it worse. So it's good that you Absolutely. Guys are doing this. Yeah.
So this might be another thing. I don't know. I'm throwing that out there, but like the concept of KTIM.
The False Claims Act.
Yeah. So if somebody reports this Medicare fraud to you guys, do you have an understanding of whether they get a piece of the recovery?
What do you say they? Who are you referring to?
I guess what Rob's question is that there's a claim for False Claim Act called KTAM, and it's let's say that you report that somebody has defrauded Medicare or Medicaid. If the government goes after them and secures a settlement or a verdict, the reporting individual is entitled to a small percentage. Kind of, it's almost like a finder's fee. Uh-huh. Do you guys ever deal with that?
I have no knowledge of that
right.
individually. I know what they do is they will track, because each state has an SMP program, so we try to get a quote unquote credit mm-hmm. if we are the ones that report to that offender, and eventually they do to prosecutors. Sometimes it's years and years go by before the person's actually formally called, and they work their way through the legal system and end up having a verdict. But I don't know anything about what you're referring to specifically, but I know what we do try to take credit for, you know, make sure, hey, Georgia S&P is the one that first report of this person had a role in their eventual arrest and verdict.
And do you guys have a national convention that you go to every year? I know the Ombudsman.
We do, absolutely.
Yeah. What is yours? Yep.
Yeah, ours was in Chicago last year. And it was, we have two programs. It's the SMP and then the SHIP program, which is also a program funded by the ACL that helps seniors with their making their Medicare selections each year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Nathan, we've said the number, which is 877-272-8720. That's the number that someone should call if they suspect that there's Medicare fraud going on. How else mm-hmm. can they get in touch with you and your organization?
I mean, we are on Facebook, Georgia Senior Medicare Patrol. You will find us on Facebook. But really, that 877-272-8720 number is the most important resource to get in contact with us. That's if you want to help us volunteer. That's if you suspect Medicare fraud. That's if you want me to come out and give a presentation to some seniors. That's really our go-to number and what a resource you can call to help us help you.
So do you have any speaking engagements booked in February of 2019?
Not starting to get February booked. December is usually a bit of a slow month for us, and February starts when it picks back up after the holidays.
Okay. Well, we record this far in advance, and this will be coming out in February 4th. It's be coming out on February 4th, so I wanted to promote if you're going out and speaking, but
I got January. I don't have anything February quite yet.
Gotcha.
That's okay.
You
always check our Facebook page. We'll have all that information.
Definitely. And are you guys on Twitter?
We are not on Twitter quite yet, but we are. We already on Facebook.
All right, Nathan, you got to get on that, man. You're a young man. You got to get the technology on the interwebs. Well, fantastic. Is there anything else that you would? Our audience consists of family members who have loved ones in nursing homes. So is there any last kind of parting words that you would give them with regard to your program or Medicare fraud in general?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, our goal is to empower seniors, but not just seniors, also empower family members of seniors to help them protect their Medicare. Unfortunately, when health issues become so serious and seniors aren't able to empower themselves to protect themselves, we really want to reach out to friends and family members to utilize information we give to help protect their family members for them.
Fantastic.
Well, yeah. I want to say that what you guys do is so important, and I can't stress this enough, that not only are you protecting these individuals, but it's protecting this program, which is always at threat for not having enough funds. I mean, $60 billion is an enormous amount of money to lose through fraud. And you guys are just an absolutely imperative organization out there. So I would say to anybody who's listening, if you've got questions, if you've got a loved one who is getting Medicare, you need to be careful. It's clearly so rampant that the very fact that you have a loved one who's getting Medicare or Medicaid means that they are susceptible to this type of fraud.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And Nathan, once again, thanks so much for coming on the show. This has been invaluable for our audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Nathan.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, that's, you know, a lot of good information. Those people are like, you know, great souls going out there and fighting the good fight. You know, the thing is, whenever I hear, you talk about money that's in Medicare and Social Security and Medicaid, I always think for some reason of the Saturday Night Live skit from the 2000 election where it was Al Gore versus George Bush. Mm-hmm. And Al Gore kept saying lockbox, like, because we want to lock up, you know what I'm saying, the money in those programs to make sure that we have
them. Look, what we'll just do is we'll get a lockbox. Oh, I forgot about that. They really nailed him on that lockbox. Yeah.
They did you know this is true that skit was so good that their campaigns analyzed it to do a better job at the next debate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like they like Al Gore needed to be more human, more human like, and then George W. needed to be less.
George W.
What? Oh, strategery. But at any rate, that's what I think about when we're talking about the S&Ps.
But it's also, again, I know I keep bringing this up. I mean, people don't understand that. I don't think they fully comprehend how much money we lose every year to fraud. And, you know, people are constantly being riled up by politicians on both sides of the aisle about, you know, where your tax dollars go, who's taking advantage of you, who's taking your jobs, who's, you know, getting benefits and stuff. And we tend to ignore how much fraud is out there that is taking money from your tax dollars. $60 billion in Medicare fraud. That's, imagine if that didn't happen and instead they spent $60 billion. This is not the way it works. But instead that $60 billion went to, you know, higher staffing.
Yeah. But yeah.
But still, yeah. I mean, that's how much $60 billion is, a lot of money.
Yeah. And navigating that, for the Medicare fraud, can be more difficult than trying to eat a bowl of Fruity Pebbles with chopsticks.
And you bring that up because it is National Chopsticks Day.
On Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
National Chopsticks Day on Wednesday. This is actually, that's February 6th. That's good for you. You love Vietnamese food.
I do.
You love Korean food.
I do.
Those are like your two, that's it, right, for you.
Yeah.
Like if you could only eat any one food, that would be it for you, right?
Vietnamese and Korean, yeah.
So you're absolutely pretty good with chopsticks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can use both. I have to use both hands, too.
What do you mean?
Well, sometimes my right hand, because I can't bend my thumb.
Why can't you bend your thumb?
I cut the tendons of my thumb with a machete when I was young.
So this is actually a new fact that I'm learning about you.
Oh, you didn't know that?
10 years.
Yeah. Do you see the difference in the wrinkles? Let's, because this one never bends.
Cody, Gene, can we get a close up on Will's thumbs?
Yeah. So I can't bend my thumb, and I love chopsticks, but sometimes this muscle gets tired, and so I have to use my left hand because my hand won't.
So you would say that you're ambidextrous with chopsticks?
Yes, okay. I have to be.
Yeah. Well, Wednesday is your day.
Yeah. Chopsticks.
We'll
day.
We'll get some. What's the best place on Beaufort Highway for Vietnamese?
Nam Phung.
If you are familiar with Atlanta, then you know Beaufort Highway. And yeah. So on Beaufort Highway, there's a lot of Vietnamese restaurants, the among best, other restaurants.
The best banh mi is Lee's Bakery.
Lee's Bakery.
The best pho is Nam Phung or Pho De Lao. Also Quoc Quang, which is 5150 Beaufort Highway. It's a little hole in the wall place. It's
like amazing. Van Halen, 5150?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, before we ramble on any longer,
let's go ahead and
wrap it.
Yep.
So this will conclude this episode of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. You can consume new episodes every Monday morning, either on your favorite podcast listening application, whether that be Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Pod Puppies, or you can watch. You can watch us on the YouTube channel or at our, I just looked directly in the lights for some reason. Or you can check us out on our website, which is nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. With that, we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes are available every Monday on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.